Appreciate you all sticking around for this early evening session. My name is Chris Worley. I'm down in Poplarville, Mississippi, with an ARS lab. And I'm going to be presenting the latest in a series of tactics we tried to control ambrosia beetles at the ornamental nurseries. My talk is very entomological in nature here, but this is actually my first ASHS meeting that I've been to, and I came hoping to do some networking with some of you horticulturists because I believe the underlying problem with these beetles is horticultural issues. So in particular, some plant stress physiologist types would be great to talk with you all afterwards. So ambrosia beetles were recently listed as the third worst arthropod pest at southeastern nurseries. They're very small insects, very small beetles, and they attack over 100 species of trees at the nursery. So they're all over the nursery, and in addition, their small size makes them very difficult to detect for the grower. They're not on the outside of the tree very long. The female beetle lands on the tree and immediately finds a good spot to tunnel inside of the tree. And so after that point, the grower is not going to see the beetles, and by the time they notice there's a problem, it'll probably be too late when they notice sawdust getting kicked out behind her or piling up on the container. Those beetles are not going to be exposed to any insecticidal applications at that point. And in addition, they've got a very long flight period from the early spring to the late summer months. And so that adds up to a very expensive pest control budget at a nursery. These beetles are attracted to ethanol. So trees that are undergoing stress, and typically at southeastern nurseries, this stress is from a flooding event or a frost injury, is the one that I mostly come in to deal with in Mississippi. We have containerized crops. And the injured and stressed trees will produce ethanol, and that's what the beetles are attracted to. So we have been able to utilize this chemical ecology to our advantage by producing very effective lures. We can use beetle traps and put an ethanol lure inside of there, and we can attract great numbers of beetles into a lethal trap. But unfortunately, myself and some collaborators last year had a pub showing that mass trapping is not a viable approach for ambrosia beetles. In certain areas, they're just too high in number, and they overwhelm the traps, and enough will get past to attack the trees still. And we've tried several tactics here. The latest one is to try this insecticidal netting. It's produced by Vestricard and available through AgBio. And it's very long-lasting. Even after the equivalent of 2 years of accelerated weathering in their lab conditions, they still showed up to 66% of the original strength of the active ingredient in the netting. So it can last season long, and we feel like it's got some good potential. Typically, this has been used to prevent influx of biting flies into livestock feedlots. But it's also been used around row crops and most recently in fruit orchards against the brown marmorated stink bug, which is causing a lot of problems for apple and peach production. There's also the thought that this is going to have a lot less non-target impact at a nursery. Rather than just doing broadcast air blast sprays of insecticides at a nursery, you're just going to be applying this product to the tree. And here you can see how happy this farmer looks after using this netting. His cows seem so safe now, and we're hoping we can do this for our ornamental producers as well. So the objective is to determine if a wrap of insecticidal netting can prevent ambrosia beetle attacks on flood-stressed trees. So it's a whole team of collaborators, myself in Mississippi, a gentleman in Clemson, Virginia Tech, Tennessee State, and there's another ARS lab up in Ohio, and we all tend to replicate our projects to get a larger data pool for our pubs. And in 2017, we used 4 treatments. The unflooded tree with no net, that's kind of a negative control. And then we had a flooded tree without a net, a flooded tree with an untreated net, just to see if there was the net itself provided some deterrence, and then, of course, the treated netting. And it was attached, you can see here at the top and the bottom, about a meter wide is what the rolls are shipped in. And then we just stapled it together all the way down. We left the trees in the field for about 4 weeks, and we had to check them weekly to maintain the flooding so that the trees would get adequately stressed. And then after that time, we brought the trees back and made counts of both the completed and incomplete galleries. And now I want to explain that a little bit. I don't think this pointer is working very well, but yeah, my finger right there. You can see that little thing. That's a what I've been calling an incomplete gallery or an abandoned gallery. It, to me, it represents a spot on the tree where the female beetle started chewing in. And for whatever reason, maybe a predator found her, maybe she just felt like that was not a good enough spot to start her gallery. She abandoned that spot and moved on somewhere else. But it seemed like an important piece of data that we weren't taking before. So I made counts of both of these types of galleries. And anything above a meter was excluded from the data set because that was the height of the netting. And then we did analysis of variance with mean separation using Tukey's. And here you can see our results from 2017. The red bar, hopefully nobody's not colorblind, but the red bar here shows a significant amount of protection offered by the insecticidal netting compared to the untreated netting. And looking at the abandoned galleries as well, you could see most of the abandoned galleries were from that netting with the treated netting. So we did have some success from 2017. The treatment that was untreated had no difference from no netting at all. So it basically is completely ineffective. These beetles are tiny. They can crawl right through that stuff and attack in just as high numbers as having nothing on there at all. There was also significantly fewer galleries on the treated netting, and even compared with the trees that were not even flooded, they didn't even have any flood stress symptoms, there was no difference there with the trees that were protected by the netting. So we had some success here, but also some failure. Some of my collaborators don't deal with this species, Nystis mutilatus. It's the largest species of ambrosia beetle we have, but interestingly, it attacks the highest up on the tree. And so at nurseries like the ones that I'm working with in the southeast that have this species that they're dealing with, this isn't going to be helping them at all because these beetles will be up higher in the tree canopy anyways. But even though the attacks were reduced with this product, it still allowed some beetles through, and it represented it was not an adequate amount of protection that we achieved with this. And so the manufacturer was kind enough to give us another shot and produced a bale of this mesh, treated mesh with a finer size mesh, and we were hoping that it would work a little bit better. So in 2018, we tried the same thing, just added an extra treatment. On the top, you can see the regular size mesh that we used last year, and on the bottom, a finer size mesh, 180 holes per square inch compared with 156. And you can see didn't help us out too much. Still kind of similar results compared to the untreated netting. There was a significant drop in attacks that were successful, but not good enough. And this picture kind of sums up the 2018 year. As I was cutting this tree off and pulling the netting back, this is the newer, finer mesh. I was pulling the netting off, and just dozens and dozens of these dead beetles were falling out. This is Xylosandrus crassiusculus. It's probably ambrosia beetle enemy number one, the most common pest, and there it was just mass death underneath that net. But still, I think I just had such a massive outbreak this past year that enough were able to get through and still finish up their galleries, that some of the trees still died as a result of the beetle attacks. So no significant difference between the two mesh sizes, so it still was not small enough. I don't know if they're going to try it again. It seems like this may be another dead end for me, another in a series of them that we've been encountering. So as of now, our recommendations for growers are, A, to limit the tree stress factors, the same as it's been for the past 10 years or so, monitor beetle flight activity and apply bifenthrin at roughly weekly intervals, depending on the amount of pressure that they have at their nursery. And that first bullet point, limiting tree stress factors, that's why I wanted to come to ASHS and figure out what are some ways that we can help protect these trees from freeze injury, particularly in the southeast. Some of my collaborators up in Tennessee and Virginia have more field-grown ornamental trees, and so they have more of a flood issue than frost. But I know I've got a minute left or so. Hopefully, if anybody has any questions about ambrosia beetles in general, or
3 minutes. So.
Yeah, my fellow entomologist here.
There you go.
Yeah.
It
does not work, yeah. Systemic products have not been shown to be effective. I don't think that it's present.
Whitney Crenshaw is recommending it for
interesting.
Canker, same family.
Yes, okay, I certainly will, yeah.
And you might have done interferon because it goes up so fast at higher concentration. If you can time that to the flight period, it may knock it back better than the imidacloprid.
Mm-hmm. For one thing, I think that at that point you're already possibly losing the tree, because if they're tunneling into the tree, we've noticed particularly at the Mississippi nurseries, there's a host of plant diseases that come into play. And I'll notice ambrosia beetle galleries that get overtaken by fusarium, and it actually outcompetes the ambrosia beetles fungus.
So. Maryland, and we've seen that in Maryland too.
Yeah. So I think even if they do get exposed to some systemic inside of the tree, the tree probably won't survive it anyways. So I think we need to prevent them from even getting into the tree would be the best way.
So I just have been reading that they're recommending for, I do a lot of my work in containers too, and these black pots are causing so much stress.
I agree.
And they're saying use white pots.
Yes.
So
the summer months in South Mississippi are tough on some tree roots, I'm thinking. But I think the majority of the stress is coming from an overwintering issue where, you know, as winters are getting more mild, these trees are not accruing enough dormancy. And so on warm days, they're doing their thing, and then a cold snap comes through. And I think they were getting some frost injury is what I'm encountering, but...
Can you measure ethanol production by these trees? I mean, so the beetles respond to that. Is that a stretch measure that you can per tree? And is there a way you can manipulate ethanol titers to keep them, you know, to keep them like a trap crop somewhere, to keep them out with your meshes? So a multiple tactic program might work?
Yeah, that's certainly a strategy. Ethanol production can be measured, and we've been trying. One method we tried was a push-pull technique, pulling them into the traps and pushing them away with the repellent compound. A trap crop might be a possibility. So, anybody else? Yes. That's a good question. I'm not sure about that. It hasn't been labeled yet, so this is all just experimental stuff, but it may very well be something that has special disposal.
Thank you so much for your time.
Okay.
Appreciate it.